Oi, oi, and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast, sponsored by Carol Angley Florist, with myself, Steve Nussbaum. As always, I'm joined by my good friend, South Stand Chum, the bearded legend, the one and only, the daddy-o. It's Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is a very special podcast. We are delighted to be joined by a very, very special guest. And it's been a bit of a long season, but at last, we've played 46 out of 46 league games. The league is now done and dusted. We ended up in 11th place in the league. We're delighted to be joined this special episode by the manager, Richie Wellens, to give us his thoughts on the season. But as always, we start with a quick word from our podcast sponsor.
So the podcast is sponsored by Carol Angley Florist. They're based in Chingford and have served the borough of Waltham Forest and the surrounding area for more than the last 70 years. They've got a fantastic team there. They can do anything you need. Weddings, family funeral tributes, birthdays, anniversaries, you name it, they'll do it for you. And they offer all O's fans and staff 15% off, which could be a massive saving. So if you want that, you can call the shop on 0208 529 4130, or you can find the team on the website at www.carolangley.co.uk, or you can find the team on social media at Instagram at Carol Angley Florist, on Twitter at Carol Angley E4, at Facebook at Carol Langley Florist.
Indeed you can. So let's go on to the main event. Richie, thanks very much indeed for sparing some time. I know you're about to board a flight, so we'll be as quick as we can. Just really start at the top, really. Thoughts on the 23-24 season from your perspective?
I think I'm the same with a lot of supporters. When you get something that you've aimed for, you always want more, you always get a little bit greedy. So if you'd have offered us this at the start of the season, we would have snapped your hand off. If you would have offered it us after four games, then we would have absolutely snapped your hand off. So I think we have to stay calm and just treat the league with respect. The top six, seven, eight are really, really tough to get to, especially in our maiden season back in League One. So I think all in all, a lot of players have stood up. Our younger players have actually stood up a lot more than some of our experienced players. So in terms of what it looks like in the future, there's a lot to be positive about, and obviously if we can have a good summer, then make no bones about it, next year is going to be really, really tough. There's some massive clubs that will recover from certain situations, i.e. the Reading, the Wigan. You've obviously got Birmingham coming down with Rotherham and who are always strong. The teams coming up in terms of financial power, I've got a lot of it, so we just have to keep cracking on. That's the reason why I signed a three-year contract, because I think it's a three-year plan. I don't think it's something that you can expect to happen straight away.
You mentioned having a good summer, Richie. So I guess what constitutes a good summer then for Leyton Orient Football Club and yourself?
Well, yeah, we've had meetings last Monday with the players. A lot of that was to congratulate them on the season, how far they've come. Other conversations are a little bit more testing, a little bit more harder, because you've got to let people go who are out of contract, and then we've let certain people know who are in contract that they are free to find another club. So it's not nice, but we have to make the best decisions for the club, and I think I'm trying to make them. And obviously every summer it's about bringing the best players in that you can.
In terms of, just to jump back to last season, just before we do look ahead, how did the season compare? How did it sort of end with regards to, sort of by comparison to your pre-season expectations? Did you think that we'd end up in 11th and having the type of season that we ended up having?
I think it's always difficult to say. I think we let points slip early doors. I think we let a point slip away at Charlton. We definitely let 3 points slip away at Wickham. What happened in the start of the season, we were playing really well, but we were very, very flimsy in certain moments. The Portsmouth game at home, everybody says that our first half performance is away at Portsmouth is the best we've played all season. We actually played better in the first half against Portsmouth when we were 2-0 down. So little moments, little characteristics, little game management things at the start of the season we was paying the price for, because we was getting it wrong. And then you look at the last six games where we've flogged the squad. Our squad has not been big enough in terms of what we've lost with the injuries. We've asked younger players to play too many minutes, and if you look at them first four games and the last six games, have we left 12 points out there to get in the playoffs? I think we have. So that's the way that I look at it.
We went on a good run from Boxing Day. We had a real kind of surge from beating Charlton 1-0. What, in your view, what kind of happened from that point? Was anything done differently, or was it just a case of the experience of those younger players come through and injuries kind of come back? What kind of, what in your views, what kind of contributed to that kind of upturn in form?
I think the whole squad. It was the only, time in the season where we had the full squad. I think in League One, you need the squad more, especially to finish games. A lot of games are won late in the last 20 minutes. And a big factor is when we played Reading away, you know, I wanted to win the game. I felt that we needed to win the game, and I kept Dan Aggie on for longer than what I should have, and we didn't have a replacement to bring him on. Ideally, I would have liked to bring him off 20, 15 minutes ago and bring somebody on that could potentially win us a game with fresh legs. And I just think the squad depth has cost us. I look at Barnsley subs that they bring on in the first game of the playoffs. I look at Bolton's depth, Portsmouth in the summer. Now, we haven't got them budgets, but what we need to do is spend our budget wisely to make sure that we've got as many effective players in League One level as possible.
So when you're talking about depth in Richie, obviously, like you said, you can't compete financially. So it's being active and being, I guess, progressive and wise in the transfer market to get the best out of the budget you have.
No, absolutely. And that's not just, you know, our budget is competitive in terms of, I would say, it's going to be a little bit different next year because it'll probably go lower. I would imagine it would be next year, probably 14th, 15th, depending on what the clubs come up and spend. I would imagine it would be a lot. And if we're going to spend our budget, we can't have too many passengers. We can't have too many players. We think, okay, we think he's going to be good enough in a year, 2 years' time. We need to make sure that every penny we spend on our budget, that the players can come in and impact the starting 11 straight away.
In terms of transfers and staying on that side of things, where do you think things could have been better for us? Do you think one of the kind of key features of the season and perhaps one of the turning points as to why we maybe didn't end up as high as perhaps what we could have done was the January transfer window?
No, I understood the club's position. Our aim was to get safe, and by January I think Lingy said it on an interview, we were 100 to 1 to get promoted and 101 to get relegated. But I just knew that a couple of wins could just change. And I think probably 2 or 3 weeks after that, we was actually 12 to 1 to get promoted. So I understood the club's position. It was a risk to spend too much and not get promoted. But I just thought it was an opportunity there, knowing that next season is going to be a lot more difficult. And we've made a lot of signings that we've made since we've come to the club have been really, really good signings. Have made an impact on the starting 11. There's one or two that this January and in the summer that just didn't work out, and that just happens for one reason or another. You know, you look at someone like Joe Piggott. It's not his fault that he's not worked out. He just doesn't fit into the way that I play. He's as much my fault as it is his. He's a talented boy. That's why he got to move to Portsmouth for a lot of money. Sorry, to Ipswich for a lot of money. Sometimes signings just don't work out. And I think if you get your higher percentage of your signings better going forward, then it'll be okay. And I think the track record of the last 2 years has proved that we get more right than wrong.
So certainly does. So you mentioned it earlier, the retain list come out at the beginning of last week. I guess the most biggest surprise or eyebrows raised was Rob Hunt. I guess what was the thinking behind letting Rob Hunt leave the club?
So I've had 5 years with Rob. We've won 2 league titles together, and the meeting was hard to me. But I just look at it in terms of I've had to spend a lot of this year having full-back and can come into midfield, overload midfield areas, and it's worked well a lot of the time. We have never had the chance to turn around and go, OK, let's send our full-back as high as possible and let's play with real athletic full-backs. You know, you look at Tom James, he's not capable of doing that, but he's a really, really good football player. So I just looked at him and thought, with the budget that we've got, we can only afford to keep one of Tom James or Rob Hunt. And then we need a couple of fullbacks in that are athletic, that can get us up the pitch. You look at all the teams that are playing the top end of this league, Cogley at Bolton. You look at the two fullbacks, Burrows and Katunga at Peterborough. All the top six have got really athletic fullbacks, and I'm prepared to go with one fullback that is technical and can play and roll in midfield and do what we ask of him there. But we also need some athletic fullbacks. So that's the thinking behind that, and it helps. Honestly, it broke my heart to release Rob. But again, I have to try and make the best decisions possible.
Yeah, and there's obviously a load of players that are in contract as well, so you're quite fortunate that it's not a complete turnover. Tell us your thoughts on, obviously, you know, those that you've got in contract. You mentioned that you've had difficult conversations with some of those who are free to find other clubs. I guess reading between the lines, Joe Pickett, as you mentioned earlier, may well be one of them. Won't ask you to name names, but just general views on the actual squad that you actually have got in contract next year.
Sorry, just got off at the end then.
So just to hear your thoughts on the players that you have got, in, like the depth and strength of the squad that you have got, just to learn a little bit more about your thoughts on who you have got.
I think if you look at our centre-backs, Jack Simpson, Dan Happ, Brandon Cooper, Omar Beckles, I think he's really, really strong. I think we've got TJ and Sweens in contract. It's a good starting point from our full-backs. I think we've got Brownie, Ethan Galbraith in midfield, who are young and will get better. We've lost El Mazzuni, Prattley's a year older. But we'll impact the team in certain times and certain stages of next season. We need a replacement for El Mazzuni, someone who is athletic and can get the ball back. We need another midfield player that can handle the ball, that is technical and can also get goals from midfield. It's something that we've lacked quite a bit. And then if you look at our front players, Jordan Graham's not contributed in terms of his injuries. He's played only 15, 17 games. I think I seen the other day that Dan Aki scored 5 goals in 7 starts. So if we get him up and running, we've obviously got Ollie O'Neill. And then Theo will probably be back about around January time. So again, we've got a good starting point in all positions. We're going to need a new goalkeeper. I think Sol's been really, really good this year. So I think we're probably going to need 6 or 7 in terms of our loan players. And that will depend on if there's any contracted players leaving, and it'll also depend on Ruel and Dan App's situation if they re-sign. But I think as a start, I will probably need 6 or 7, and then depending on Hat, Ruel, a couple of others, then we might need a few more. But I think we've got the basis of a good, athletic, hungry League One team that if we can, you know, get 5 or 6 around them, I think he's really, really capable.
You mentioned Idris El Mazzuni there. He's been with us 2 seasons now. Might there be a chance that he could rejoin us permanently?
Everybody says when a season's finished, you're looking at transfers, you're looking at this, you're looking to sign him, we're not. People are lying. Obviously, since you're Birmingham now, you can start your recruitment today because you've got the most money in the league and you can go and cherry pick like Portsmouth, like Bolton, and you can go, we want him. And all the best players that are available to League One clubs this summer, they will hold out for the playoffs to see if Bolton stay down, to see if Barnsley stay down. Birmingham, Huddersfield, all these big players, they will cherry pick the ones that they want. And we have a list of players that hopefully we can get. But if we can't get them because these big clubs take them, then we obviously have to go to number 2, 3 and 4. And that's the way that later on in League One has to work, I'm afraid. We just can't compete. So, I mean, I seen somewhere the other day, there's a lad not even in Barnsley's squad on the playoff game the other night. He's on £10,000 a week. Now, that is way, way, way above anything that we can pay. So it just goes to show what we're against. And again, we just need to be smart.
Mentioned Idris in terms of the next loanee who, you know, we had a lot of questions about. What about Sol Brin and Shaq Ford? Obviously, Shaq done really well, was only one division above. Is he kind of in the thinking, or is it just too early to comment on that?
I think what Shaq's legs fell off in the last 6 or 7 games, didn't they? We wanted to take him out, and it was hard because we just had no other options. But I think as a 19-year-old in his first season, his goals per minute, especially when he moves on to the right, he can be extremely proud. He'll probably sign a new contract with Watford, and then, as is the case with a lot of situations like this, we wait to see Watford, have a look at him in pre-season. They'll make a judgment call on him, whether they want him in the squad or whether they're happy to let him go out. And I think if they let him go out, we would be towards the top of his list. El Mazzouni, obviously fantastic, done brilliant for 2 years. Again, would be tough. Ipswich are promoted to the Premier League now. His money will go up significantly if they take up the option. I'm not sure they do, because obviously they're looking at now Premier League players and players that can keep them in the Premier League. If he becomes a free, that would be attractive for us, but it would also become attractive for the top five or six clubs in League One, so you can imagine how difficult that might be. Solbrin, again, we think Sol's done great. We'll, as I said before, we just have to wait. We're not in a position where you try and, I always put myself into the players of what I would think if I was the players. And if I'm El Mazzouni, I've had a really, really good year, I would say, I would go on my holiday, relax, I would leave it to my agent to say, listen, I've always got Leighton Orient there if I need to, but can you get this club, this club, this club, this club? And if they come calling, then he's going to go to that club. And that's just the way that the loan system works, I'm afraid. And it's really frustrating for me, because I think we've improved a lot of loanees, but then obviously the parents' club goes and gets the rewards from that.
Yeah. You've not only got players to replace within the team, Richie, but obviously Matt Harrold's moving on, or has moved on. Thoughts on him, first of all, and then obviously the type of character, type of person, type of coach that you're looking to replace.
Yeah, I mean, as a person, Matt was absolutely terrific. The way that we work, myself, Matt and Paul, I do more or less everything that is tactical. And then whether it's possessions, whatever it may be, we do sessions leading up to the tactical stuff. Matt and Paul Terry will always take that. So I'm not too worried about getting a coach that can tell me new ideas or whatever. If it happens, then great, because I'm always open to new ideas. But I'm okay with me taking the tactical side of it. You know, from a Monday, if we've played Saturday, the Monday and the Tuesday training might just be get the legs going, possession drills, something that we know the players enjoy or whatever. And then the Wednesday and the Friday session will be tactical, and I will take that. So I'm fine with that. But obviously the biggest thing to replace Matt is his actual character. He's well-liked within the staff, and obviously he's well-liked with the players as well. And I think the biggest thing for coach, you can be the best coach in the world, and the players can look at you and go, he's actually a good coach. But if you don't fit into the environment, the players don't like you. That doesn't matter. It's just not going to happen. So we obviously want someone that's a good character, but then we don't want the classroom clown who's really, really good with the players and really funny, and the players really like him, but he has no impact at all. So we've got to get the balance right. We're going to put something out in the next few weeks. I've got a meeting with Martin and with Nigel and Kent in Boston in 8 or 9 days' time. We'll discuss that, and then when we come back, we'll do the interview process. We're not in a rush. I think it's a really attractive position. I think we lost two members of staff in the last year. Joe Austin, who went to Tottenham, and Matt Howard went to Bournemouth. So it just shows that we're doing something right.
Absolutely does. And talking, I guess, of staff moving, we are delighted that you signed a 3-year contract earlier in the week. Was there ever in doubt, Richie? Obviously, I think Nigel, we had on the podcast about 2 or 3 months ago, and said you were in negotiations. Was it ever in doubt?
No, I can't speak from their side. And we had initial discussions before the season started. And listen, I'm big enough, I've got thick enough skin to know what football's like. We then start the season with 3 defeats, and their discussions might be different. Well, just okay, just let's hold the horses a minute. Let's just see how this goes. Do we need to give Richard a new contract yet? Probably not. Let's just see. I was fine with that, and I get how football works. And then it was reignited in around January, and then obviously on Monday morning it managed to get done.
Perfect. What's your favourite moment of the season, Richie? Is there anything that stands out?
I think it's really difficult. I think, you know what? There was two turning points. The last couple of goals against Cheltenham late on, because it was our staff Christmas night out after that. And 2 minutes before, we was not going anywhere. We was in the next morning, we was not going anywhere. There was no Christmas celebrations, there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, your demeanour changes and the enthusiasm in the change room changes. And it's like, okay, listen, we got lucky there. Our performances were quite good in the early part of the season. Our performance at Cheltenham was really poor, but the result meant everything. And then a week later, we went to Bolton, and within 9 minutes, we're blown away. Rabbits in the headlights. We got him in after 20-25 minutes. We changed the way he was going to play. And the second half, I just looked as I thought, you know what? That's a team that have responded to what I wanted, showing a massive reaction. Because Bolton can do that. Bolton can go 2-3-0 up against a team. They beat Exeter 7, I think. They beat Oxford 5. They can do it. They've got really talented players. You look at their front line. Aaron Collins was $750,000. Deion Charles was $500,000. The midfield, couple of midfield players are $500,000, $700,000. And they've got probably, people always talk about wage bills, and the wage bill's significant, but it's also not as significant as a transfer pot. And when you're them type of clubs and you can go and spend $750,000 on players, it's a massive advantage. The fact that we actually outran them, we outplayed them for 45 minutes in the second half, probably 70 minutes in the game, that gave me massive confidence going forward. So I think them two moments, we've obviously, the Portsmouth game away was brilliant, but we was in our groove then. You're always looking at characteristics and resilience, so who can change a groove? Mm. And I think in them two moments, the last two goals at Cheltenham in the second half against Bolton were big momentum swingers for us.
So we had lots of listener questions, Richard. We're going to ask you what we get time to. So Orient Fan TV said, what did you think about the rumours linking you to Barnsley? Because obviously you weren't at Starman, the Barnsley vacancy is up. I don't know how aware you are of social media, but there was a lot of frightened O's fans on social media. Did you have any idea of the implications, I guess, of what was going on last week?
Yeah, no, I obviously heard them. However, I'd already signed my contract on Monday morning. So when I had the meeting with the players and what have you, I'd signed a contract after that. So the fact that the rumours had come out on Tuesday and Wednesday, well, I'd already signed the contract, so it was just a typical twill. People think this and that, and obviously it is what it is.
Ron Sampson 15 asks, will the new players coming to the club be here early this time round, and have you got any names of actual players that you want? I think you may have covered that earlier in terms of pecking order and some of the big boys coming up and coming down.
Yeah, exactly that. If we can get people in early, then absolutely brilliant. But I would imagine go away pre-season. I'm quite happy with that, because pre-season is really, really big for me. The way that we get the structure right, we get the foundations right, is really, really big. And if we can get the majority of them done, like I say, we've got a good group. We've got really, really good. It's a really easy dressing room to come into. You look at Ollie O'Neill, Shaq Ford, they come in and it's very easy for them, because we've got the likes of Omar Beckles, Darren Pratt, they're really good professionals that make it quite easy. So I'm not too worried. Listen, I'd love them in as early as possible, obviously, but finances dictate that, and obviously our pecking order will dictate that as well.
You mentioned pre-season, Richie. Obviously, we've got the game against Hearts. Is there more plans, I guess, to go away for a summer camp and try and get some friendlies abroad again, and to try and, I guess, unite the squad?
Yeah, that's been booked. I'm not sure the dates. I don't want to say anything and people book the wrong bloody dates. I don't want to stitch them up. But that's been done. We're going to exactly the same place. I think it's called La Cala as last year. Facilities were good. Obviously, the weather is very good, and I thought it worked really well. So we'll be going to the same place as last year. You'll have to speak to Lingy about the dates.
Oliver Melman asked, what are your thoughts on playing two left-footed centre-halves together in a back four? Considering we've made contract offers to both Dan Happy and Jack Simpson, would you feel comfortable playing them together?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've never done that. I think we played the last 20 minutes against Shrewsbury like that. But Jack Simpson's good enough to play on the right, because I think when he steps across onto his left foot, it opens up the pitch and it opens up all angles with his passing ability. So, yeah, not a problem with that at all. Everybody says, why two left footers? But the amount of, you very rarely see a right foot and a left footer. You know, if we've got everybody fit, we can always play a right foot and left foot. But everyone's comfortable with playing two right footers, but no one's comfortable with playing two left footers. But I get what they're saying. But it's like we play inverted wingers. So when I was a midfield player, we used to play 4-3-3 or a diamond, and I also used to like to play on the left, because when I take that touch in on my right foot, I can reverse it, I can play straight, I can hit a diagonal, I can hit the opposite fullback. When you get it on the right-hand side, it's really difficult because you kind of channeled in what you can do. And obviously that's why, since probably Pep Guardiola come to England, there's inverted wingers, inverted fullbacks. Now, I really like working with inverted fullbacks. I do think that someone like Jack Simpson can do that really well. Vice versa, when Ed Turns played, obviously if Ed Turns is right-footed, he played as left centre-back, he enjoyed that. And when Brandon Cooper plays centre-back, he actually enjoys playing the left as well.
You mentioned earlier the out-of-contract players. We had a question from Charlie Hall, who said, is there a deadline for the out-of-contract players to sign the contracts?
I think there is. I'm not sure when the date is. Ideally, I would like a decision off them. I think one thing I always like is honesty, and if people have got other options and think about other options, and I'm fine with that. It's the way of the game, it's football. But just be honest with us, what I don't want to do is be waiting around for a certain amount of time thinking that I'm going to get you done and then nothing happens. Lauren Figgery was brilliant last year. He said straight away, I said, I think I've got Huddersfield or Burnley and I'm probably going to take it. So I said, no problem at all. And it allows you to move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, unfortunately, that doesn't look like that move has worked out particularly well for him in terms of football, but we appreciate he's probably given his family a lot of security financially. J_Crowley_, we've covered the first bit. Do you take training every day? No, you don't. But have you moved down south yet? There was some talk, I think, when we last spoke to you about moving the family down. Now that you've signed your new 3-year contract, have you sort of got plans to move the family down? Are you sound
well, somewhere? So I've lived in Booker still for probably all this season. Our physio, Keaton Patel, he's actually my landlord, so he loves overcharging me and Paul Terry. I'm gonna move out of there. My son Alfie will sign a scholar for the club in June. So the whole family are moving out. However, I'd agreed to rent a house out in Loughton, and everything was verbally agreed. However, the guy in Loughton decided to pull out on me and Airbnb it. So if the guy from Loughton is listening to me, thanks a lot.
It could well be. D. Rolf Doyle asks, how good is Zeko Biero and what is his genuine potential?
How good's who?
Zeko
Biero. Again, with young players, he's like Galbraith. When Ethan Galbraith comes in, I know his quality, I know he's brilliant on the ball, I know his technical ability, I know how springy he is, but I'm a midfield player, I also see a lot of his deficiencies. So the conversations we had at the start of the season with Matt and with Paul is Matt and Paul wanted Galbraith in midfield straight away for every single game. I say, listen, he vacates the middle of the pitch, the opposition teams can expose a space in front of our back four. And they go, no, playing. We played 2 or 3 games and the things that I told them would happen. Because he's a young player and he needs to develop and he needs to get better. And he needs to get, what Zek needs to learn is very similar to Ethan. Game management, when he can take 2 touch, when he can take 1 touch, when he can dribble, when he needs to hook it on, when he needs to track runners, when he can pass runners on. All them stuff for me are the foundations of what a midfielder should be. But what actually happens with a technical player is they've got the technical of it. Zek's very, very good technically. He's been technically good for 18 months. But physically, in his game knowledge, he's nowhere near where we need to be. So all we're working on is his fitness, his game knowledge. And I have to say that in the last 2 months, the information over a period of 18 months that he's took on board is coming to fruition now. And we've seen that in the 3 or 4 games he's played. He's been excellent. I don't know where Zek can play. He can potentially play a lot higher, but it's all about doing it, isn't it? Again, you look at certain players and go, he's brilliant, but when they make the step up, they can't do it. And they look at certain players, I'm not sure he can step up. When they actually make the step up, then they can make it easily. So it's very difficult to tell, but I think Zek's got a right chance.
Amazing. We had a question from an account called Theo Archibalding about whether we'd see Theo Archibald back before 2025. You mentioned January before. You were kind of talking, I'm hoping I'm reading right correctly between the lines here, that obviously we've offered Theo a contract. He's one of the out-of-contract players. you're kind of hopeful that he'll sign that contract extension or that new contract?
Well, I think it's not a new contract. It's an extension of his existing contract, which okay. I think from the club's point of view, listen, Theo, since he's been at the club, has given me absolutely everything. He got injured playing for the club and it was a real bad injury. There would be some clubs out there that would go, this is a huge risk, probably not give him a contract and let's see how his rehab goes. But I think Nigel and Lingy have been absolutely fantastic. They've looked after him and they've promised him a year contract on the same money that he was on. We've not given him a decrease. And obviously, if he can come back in, but one thing Theo is, he's 100% his game and he's really, really robust. So at the moment, the time frame is January. Knowing Theo, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a little bit earlier.
Fingers crossed for that one. Paddock Inspecto says, what have you learned about yourself and your management and coaching team from this season?
Sorry, cough.
Yeah, it says the question is, what have you learned about yourself and your management and coaching team from this season?
I think it's not to get too down when we lose games, because you know when we come in, even though we was fighting against relegation 2 years ago, we won a lot of the games that we was playing against, and then obviously the season after, we start with nine wins out of 10 and a draw. We're just used to winning. The whole season was used to winning, and a lot of my losses have come either at the end of the first season I was there against Northampton, against Tranmere, when we was already safe, against Oldham away, I remember, where I'm trying out players that I don't think can play for us, but I'm giving them a chance. And then obviously we lose a 2 or 3 games at the end of the Championship winning season because it is what it is, and the players would prefer to party than carry on winning when the league was already won. So I totally get that. I think the biggest learning curve for me is just dealing with losses a little bit better. When I was younger, I couldn't really deal with it as well, because I thought that what I was doing was good enough to win football matches. But when I was at a club like Oldham, that we just didn't have the talent to win football matches at League One level. And just try and get the very, very best out of your players. We'd all love to be Derby and big clubs in this league, but we're not. So sometimes the likes of us, and I think Stevenage have done it great, Northampton have been unbelievable last year because they've had a similar injury list to us. I think all of the managers have really reacted well, because you can go 3 or 4 games without a win. You can lose 3 or 4 in a bounce. And it's how do you react from that? We can lose 3 in the bounce and then we look at our fixture list and go, we've got Bolton, Derby and Portsmouth in the next 3. And that can be really, really tough. Whereas Derby might lose a game and the favourites for every single game. So that can get your confidence back up, because you think, well, we'll win that one. When you're a little bit lower, it's like, when's our next win gonna happen? So I think as a staff, we've dealt with that really well this year.
Adam H. Joseph has got quite a strong opinion. He said, our set pieces were a shambles all season. Why do we insist on Tom James taking every throw-in? Not only does it slow the game down, but our success rate was next to nothing. What does Richie see that the rest of us don't?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of time that I don't want them to take long throw-ins. I want them to play quick, but the players have to take it, you know, see what's happening in the game. Long throw-ins do take this thing out of it, and sometimes when we're playing better opposition who are better than us and want the game at their tempo, then we have to sometimes slow the game down. Totally get the question and agree. Sometimes I'm saying, take the throw in, and we're waiting for Tom James to run from left back over, where I'm saying, get it. Again, that's part of our evolution and players taking on responsibility and learning and knowing when to speed the game up and knowing when to slow it down. But I disagree with that. When he's saying the set is a shambles, we're actually, at one point, we was right at the top in terms of our attacking set plays in terms of numbers. It petered off the last 10 games, but. Yeah, I totally disagree with saying it's a shambles.
Red in the Face asked a question saying, in terms of last season, who were the top 3 or 4 individuals on the opposing teams who impressed you the most?
This is a lot. I mean, I went to the game last night between Oxford and Peterborough. Cameron Brannigan in midfield is very, very good. Really good player. Goodrum's a good player. Murphy's a good player. For Oxford, you know, you look at Peterborough, they sold the left winger from Clark to Coventry for over £4 million. You've obviously got Hector, who was about to move for £4 million to Watford, and that was rejected by Peterborough. I think Peterborough want £10 million for Ronnie Edwards. So it's a level that when you jump into that Championship, the figures and the stature of the players increase dramatically, and that's what I want our younger players to see. I I want the likes of Ruel to see Hector and what the prize is if you keep pushing, if you keep learning, and you dedicate your whole life to football, whether that be physically or mentally, the rewards are massive now.
You mentioned Ruel, Richie. Obviously, he won Player of the Year at the Starman Awards. I think, you know, we've been fairly critical of Ruel at points in the season where he's kind of missed, I guess, some of the easier chances and put away some unbelievable chances. I guess, what are your thoughts on Ruel then, I guess, from the season?
I think you need to work harder at the chances that you think he should score. Mm-hmm. So when he goes through and it's a one-on-one, he has to think about it, manipulate the ball and get the angle of his last touch or his second to last touch right. I think it's something he needs to work on. When it's instinctive finishes, then he's very, very good. His press out of possession, I wouldn't swap him for anyone in the league. I think he's brilliant. And as I just said, people love Pocu at Peterborough, and people love Mason Clark at Peterborough. They love the two wingers the two wide men at Oxford, a couple of old clubs. Ruel scored more goals than them, and he's young. He's 23 years old. He's improving. Where he's come in the last 2 years, where he was probably a National League player. Now, you know, if we were to say to any club, OK, Ruel Sotirio is available, then I would imagine that every single League One club would put an offer in.
Richard, that's all the questions that we had. So we just wanted to kind of end this chat with you with just a final message from yourself to the Orient fans. I know that you're probably very close to having to get on a plane and finish this anyway, but just your final message to the O's fan for the 23-24 season.
No, thanks for your support. The support all year has been absolutely fantastic. I do want us to get a better match experience at home next year, because I think our home form has not been as good as our away form. The away supporters have been absolutely magnificent with the introduction of the drum. It's been brilliant, and it's a pleasure to see so many younger supporters coming to follow us week in, week out. At home, I think we need to find this issue where we sell out and we can't sell another ticket, and then we come out and there's only 7,000 there, so we're lacking 1,500, 2,000. When we go to away grounds, you know, we play Portsmouth, there's 20,000 there, we play Derby, 30,000. It's tough to play at home. I don't think teams like coming to play against us, but if we can fill it out and we can just get that little, you know, I'm going to have a few conversations in Boston with Mark and talk about how we can get the match day experience better for our supporters, so that one, everybody turns up who's got a ticket, but then the atmosphere is even better, because I think that I always believe that supporters can get you 10 or 12 points a season, but no credit, every one of them that have turned up week in, week out have been absolutely brilliant, and let's go again next year and let's see where we can go.
So that was our end of season interview with super Richie Wellens, who joined us live from the airport. So we massively appreciate Richie spending the time as he was waiting to get a flight out of the UK. Incredible. Some great content there.
Yeah.
And just really honest. I've always loved Richie's honesty. I'm delighted he's staying for the next 3 years as Orient manager, and really excited about what the future holds.
And that also leads by example for some of the players that are in contract or out of contract or thinking about what their next moves are. Look, your manager, who's got you to 11th in League One this season, has signed on for 3 years. You want to be a part of that again and look to move on next season? Then sign up. I guess that the biggest thing, one of the biggest points that Richie made, was the pecking order of clubs in the league has changed considerably and drastically, with the Wrexhams and the Mansfields coming up and the Birminghams and the Rotherhams and the Huddersfields coming down. They've got money, like big money. I'm seeing on Twitter today Birmingham City fans thinking they're just going to absolutely walk this league next season.
Yeah.
You look at Charlton fans, they probably thought the same. They ended up lower than us. It's not that easy. Interesting. Apologies if any children were listening. I think there might have been a slight F-bomb in that. So we apologise for that. You can tell just how passionate Richie is. And you couldn't want for a better manager at our club. I really feel it was super safe hands. And yeah, look, you know that we're going to be signing the right sort of players. We're not going to be messed about. But like he said, you know, yeah, there'll be rumoured that we went after this one, that one, the other. We didn't get him because they went to that club. There's always reasons. I think we just have to bear that in mind.
And if you want to hear any more of our thoughts, you're going to have to go back and listen to episode 356, the season finale, because we know lots of you like listening to the interviews without some of the content. So that's all we're going to say on that. So before we bow out of this one, don't forget to get in touch with John and his fantastic team of experienced florists at Carroll Langley. Give them a call on 0208 529 4130, or you can get in contact with the team on social media, Carroll Langley E4 or Essex Biz on Twitter, Instagram, Carroll Langley Florist, and at Facebook, at Carol Langley Florist.
Indeed. So that is it. Thank you for joining us for our very special Super Richie Wellens interview. He's jetting off to Dubai for a couple of days now to get some sunshine. But if you're not, or even if you are, it's good airport lounge listening. You can listen on iTunes. Give us a subscribe. It really does help other fans find the podcast. 5-star rating, if you're inclined, would be very much appreciated. If you're listening on Spotify, don't forget to rate the show. You can even leave a comment on each episode as well. Now it's a new feature on the show, so please do so if you get the chance. And don't forget to follow us, add us to your favourites on your chosen podcast provider. That way you'll get all the episodes as soon as they're available. We're on smart speakers, we're on the Fan Hub app, but also on YouTube now, just as an audio. So listening to us couldn't be any easier. If you've got an older relative, a loved one, a new Orient fan, pass on the pod to them, grab their phone, help them download it in some way, shape or form.
All right, so that really is it for the Orient Outlook podcast this season. So we'll be back with episode 357 in the summer with lots of information. There'll be new kits, there'll be new players, there'll be players in, players out. There'll be lots of news to catch up on. We look forward to hearing from you all over the summer. So as always, keep calm, stay safe, have a great week. Get that suntan lotion on and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Up the O's.